Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket's Rotten Radio is on the air.
Rotten Radio.
It lasts July 16th to August 2nd. You ought to go over there, man. Just see what's cooking. That's right up your alley.
No, I can't compete with all those football coaches and shit.
What the hell?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Where do you think you are?
I'm sorry, you called me at a very unguarded moment.
Oh, when your children in the stands, Mike.
Papa Hardline just issued an S-bomb on the radio.
And it was so casual.
We're all just hanging out, having fun.
Oh, God.
That has not happened in a long time.
I can't compete with the football coaches and S. Boy.
Wow.
God.
Idiot.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. I guess he just thought he was sitting around a bar with Corby and Danny and thought he would use that barnyard language, I guess.
That offends me.
Are you offended?
Yeah.
Are you offended by that?
To whom do I complain? Is it to Catman Hitler or...
Well, I'm offended by that. Who would I complain to that about?
At Mike's North Clubhouse.
Mike's a radio Hall of Famer, though. He knows when his headsets are on.
And the mic's on.
And the mic's on.
Yeah.
And he's on.
I think now that he's in the hall...
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah. He's safe. He can do whatever he wants.
They just rescinded it.
Let's listen to that casual dropping of the S-bomb again.
It lasts July 16th to August 2nd. You ought to go over there, man. Just see what's cooking. That's right up your alley.
No, I can't compete with all those football coaches and shit.
What the hell?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Damn.
Where do you think you are?
I'm sorry, you called me at a very unguarded moment.
Oh, and your children in the stands, Mike.
He really shocked himself, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He just went into the Ryan's giggle. That's so funny.
We're smelling the place up with Rotten Radio.
Take a shot is the phrase that pays here.
Don't you think the line forms to the left, though, to take a shot on him?
Of course, because you're now going to get to take a shot on that kind of talent.
Locally.
You're going to get to take a shot on...
Whoa, way down.
Huh?
Do I dump that?
Take a shot on that kind of talent at a very low cost.
We're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah.
Totally didn't mean it.
Low risk, high possibility of reward. Not like trading every draft pick you have.
But let's be clear, take a shot on it.
A right. Shot.
Right.
Right. Now, you might say Gruden is doing something else on it.
Yeah, you might. You might. And that's weird for Dan to make mess that up because he's the guy who's known for saying, a shot.
I thought it was weird.
I think
weird.
It's curious that he wanted to get so sportsy.
Yeah. Yes.
He's never passed up an opportunity to stop down a show.
I figured if anyone on the station would stop down and make fun of dropping an S-bomb, it would be him. He tried to plow right through it.
I guess he's now the sports guy on that show.
Yep.
Bob was wanting to joke around.
Right.
Well, I love the immediate reaction, too, of the crew. You just hear muffled laughter in the background. Say that one more time.
Don't you think the line forms to the left, though, to take a shot on him?
Of course, because you're now going to get to take a shot on that kind of talent.
Locally.
You're going to get to take a shot on...
Whoa, way down.
Huh?
Do I dump that?
Take a shot on that kind of talent at a very low cost.
We're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah.
Totally didn't mean it.
Low risk, high possibility of reward. Not like trading every draft pick you have.
But let's be clear, take a shot on it.
A right. Shot.
Right.
Right. Now, you might say Gruden is doing something else on it.
Yeah, you might. You might. I love how he also did the quick correction of, after saying that, the S-bomb, saying, take a shot.
I like how Jake had to ask if we had to dump that.
Yeah, he's unfamiliar.
Well, they weren't sure exactly what he said.
Podcast rules are
what he said.
Govern the airwaves.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten.
radio. Last night. And it's funny because you'll see the video, and it's only like a 3 or 4 second video. And the guy said, well, I was simply reaching over the railing for a high five, which is total crap.
Mr. Mets, the total mascot crap. Of the Mets, the guy with the big
baseball head.
Baseball head.
And so you see Mr. Met turn around and flip off the person in the camera and just turn around and walk off. Well, there are several people, Norm, who are Mr. Met, who are in the mascot uniform, and that person will no longer be in the Met, Mr. Met uniform. He has been fired by the Mets organization.
Or he lost his job over that?
Over a finger.
By the way, when you make a mascot and it's called Mr. Met, can we pay a little more attention to being anatomically correct here? Mr. Met has only 4 fingers. You couldn't make Mr. Met with 5.
Well, he has most important finger. Obviously, he showed it last night.
The middle one literally is the middle one on Mr. Met's 3 fingers.
Well, how do we
He's
know
got
that
a
was
thumb
his...
and 3 fingers?
Well, no, actually, this is the actual middle one with ours.
No, because the thumb is not technically a finger.
Oh, it's on your hand. It's a finger.
It's an appendage.
It's a finger.
So technically, it wasn't even his middle finger, as humans are led to believe what a middle finger is, because he has a different number of fingers. It could have meant something totally different.
No, Mr. Met meant exactly what he did. Now, they were losing 7-0 at the time.
Hard to believe Mets fans would be in a surly mood.
I think they were in Milwaukee. No, they couldn't have been in Milwaukee because Mr. Met wouldn't have been there.
He doesn't travel.
Right. So, yes, they're down 7-0, and the guy simply wanted a high five.
He just wanted a high five. I'm sure he didn't yell anything
stupid. He didn't say, no, of course not. He was just being so nice.
Are we inventing the high one?
Boy, that was a high one. It was a turnaround look.
He did
Bam.
Sort of the...
Yeah, he really did.
When you double down with the other arm crossing the elbow.
Full gesture, yes.
In New York City, Mr. Met lost his job for a quick finger shoot?
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally with you. Okay, is one person nationwide actually, like, offended or mad at this? Or this is just another perfect example of people pretending anger on Twitter or whatever.
And the organization having to do something about it, yeah.
Because I'm sure they have some policy that you're representing the team, and I get there's some sentence that you violated.
Yeah.
You know,
but, like, can we just chill? Well, who's really mad at this?
There's no one that said, oh, well, I never.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to a Mets game again because
the children,
did that.
The children.
Yeah, your kid is probably the main one doing it.
Yeah, your kid's a little angel.
If we fired every New York City cabbie who had shot the finger at
New
some
York
point
City
in his
person,
career,
yeah, driving to anything.
There wouldn't be any cabs
right.
in the city.
Unemployment would skyrocket.
And he also did it, like, in the little tunnel, like, if that matters at all. Like, he wasn't standing.
Yeah, he wasn't on second base.
Right. I mean, he was just kind of about to walk in and be done with a shift.
And it really was a flip. It wasn't a wave.
It was a flip.
It was a flip.
He didn't do the wave.
He flipped the guy off.
Also, Mr. Met only has 4 fingers.
Whoop.
Do you say that?
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Never mind.
That's okay.
Well, we had a pretty good argument about it, too.
Long I wasn't one. Listening.
That's okay, TC.
Real long.
I occasionally have that happen to me, too.
About the thumb and
well, we
if
did.
It was in the middle.
Yeah.
It was actually the middle.
Yeah.
It's all right, little buddy.
That was a pretty big part
I
of the segment.
I appreciate it. I did need more e-breaks,
that
so
was, that
thank
was
you.
A big part of the segment.
Like, it's a mascot.
I do understand. Yeah. Got it. Soon, uh-oh.
I love when that happens.
That may have already been said. Go ahead.
It's a mascot, too. Like, he does... Like, why not ding the San Diego Chicken for attempted murder for shooting a Nerf gun at the third base coach?
Aren't we done with mascots?
No.
They're played out.
No, they're not.
Mascots are played out, dude.
There are some good ones.
Like...
Power rank.
Like, well, Teddy is retired now. Ted Giannoulis, who was the chicken, is retired. That man entertained millions of people
in
over the
years. 70s.
But he's still fun. Mariner still, Moose is still fun.
Still fun. You're
Mariner
just listing
Moose
mascots.
Is fun.
Oh, when he breaks his leg in a four-wheeler accident, I like that. Or was that Billy the Marlin?
Or was it the gorilla? The gorilla's good. And
who
Phoenix?
Was sliding down the steps on the...
That was some moose. Was that a Milwaukee Bucks moose?
That was the Dingets.
Oh, they have those too?
I don't know.
On the like the luge thing?
Like I'm saying, now, since we have mascots that have nothing to do with the stinking team, they play it out.
Hey, it's New York City. If we really want to capture New York City, uh-oh, it ought to be a big hand shooting the finger.
Yeah. It should be permanently on the mascot. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
They should replace that apple that comes out of the hat with a big bird.
Yeah.
But you only show it when the other team hits a home run.
Yeah, exactly.
So when they hit a home run, just a and then it comes back down. That's awesome. I take that. To hell with Mr. Matt. Give me that.
We have to be offended. Oh. It's so maddening.
Like
no one cares.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest, dude. Champ at the Mavericks game.
Mm-hmm.
Useless, right?
No.
Worthless.
Dude, kids like mascots. Half of these games are for kids' entertainment.
I think we are getting to the point where kids are scared of these things now.
No.
You guys?
I was terrified of mascots.
Thank you, Trey. You made my point.
My uncle dressed up as Barney for my birthday party, and I was terrified.
We have gone nearly 10 minutes in this segment, and you've not even discussed the standard bearer for useless mascots in our area.
Rowdy? I was just going to wait. I didn't even have to say it.
Poor Rowdy.
The very best of the worst. It's Rotten Radio. Take it.
The killer's out here engineering, and I believe he's been assigned cooking responsibilities once again. And is that tonight, killer? You're cooking dinner tonight?
Yeah, some nice salmon, some lemon pepper chicken.
That is an instant drop.
Damn it.
Instant drop.
Yeah, he did. You were so timid, even more so than normal.
But it's so refined, yeah, too. It was like all of a sudden he was so working nice at a French restaurant, giving us a couple of off-the-menu suggestions for tonight. Oh, man, killer, you're the best. All right, well, that's good. That's good that you'll be cooking for us tonight. We look forward to that.
And I'm sorry. I believe we interrupted you running down
in your presentation.
I'm sorry. What else we got? We got salmon?
Some asparagus and some broccoli with carrots?
Oh, I don't know why that's so funny. It just is. All right. The point is killer's out here with us, too.
Man.
Boy, and we can't report killer.
He's going to be our
whipped
cookie
up a heck of a meal.
It was fantastic.
God, those that carrots voice and broccoli, and it was all good.
Never, I'd marry killer.
Never heard his voice like that.
Yeah, some nice salmon, some lemon pepper chicken, some asparagus, and some broccoli with carrots.
Why does he say it like some nice salmon?
Some nice salmon?
Salmon?
We're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick. Let's get back to Rotten Radio on The Ticket.
Rotten Radio.
Here are the three categories in the first round of Ghetto
That's
Jeopardy.
Not nice.
Category one.
Categories.
First category is Cool It Now.
Cool It Now?
Cool It Now, yes. This is a category about New Edition. They had a movie out
crap
here. Don't worry about it. You'll
all
be
right
good.
Okay.
About one of the most influential boy bands of all time.
Yes.
The second category is Who That Is.
Who
That Is. Someone from the barbershop is going to describe someone.
Oh, okay.
You have to answer Who That Is.
Okay.
Right. And the third category is HBCU. We're going to learn all about the historically black colleges and universities around.
Oh, okay.
It's great land.
I only learned mine through Bill Cosby sweaters.
So, Dan, you're the last champion of Ghetto Jeopardy. I don't know
really
that officially, but you win all the time. So, you pick a category and a money amount, please.
Well, since we went to a historically black college game many years ago, you and I, what game was that?
Well, don't worry about that.
That's for
that
100.
May be one of the categories.
Oh, damn it.
One of the clues.
Let's go with HBCU for a stack, please.
Southwestern Christian College is located in this Texas city. I wonder if Jamie Foxx ever went to campus.
Hugh.
Bob.
Tyler.
Incorrect.
Tom.
Gribble.
F.
Dang
it.
Tom.
No.
I want to
but
go
I
again.
Knew it.
Corby.
No.
Why not me?
I didn't hear you, Jake. I'm sorry.
Man.
I really didn't. It's my ghetto hearing. Corby.
God, it's right outside the city.
Tom.
Hang on, I get a second.
F.
Hurry up. Are you looking on your computer?
I'm not.
Man, y'all better have your laptops closed.
It's not Temple. It's
closed computers.
I'm not looking.
Jake.
Jake's is closed.
Tom.
Jake.
Terrell.
Terrell is correct.
I said F.
Jake said Tom.
But that's what I meant.
All right, Jake.
Close your computer, Corby.
Pick a category and a money amount, please.
Let's go Who That Is for 100.
Who That Is for 100. I need audio. Pete, you're going to have to describe to me who this person from the barbershop is talking about.
Ugly. Pink. Poked out lips. Crazy. A fool. Arrogant. Pompous.
You?
Tom.
Now, Bob said you.
Dennis Rodman.
Incorrect. I'll keep going.
Tom.
Jake.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Pink.
Oh, I was thinking of someone in the community.
What?
Where are you going, Jake?
I'll go Who That Is for 200.
All right, here we go. Let's see who they're describing at the shop.
The finest athlete ever.
Dribble. Michael Jordan.
Incorrect.
Tom.
Jake.
Muhammad Ali.
Incorrect.
You.
Bob.
Not Jordan. Not Muhammad Ali.
LeBron.
Incorrect. Dan, I would suggest you listen to the whole thing.
All right. Larry Bird.
Before. Yeah. Here we go.
The finest athlete ever. Having a baby by my nemesis. Should be my baby. More money than I have.
Oh.
Super fine.
No, can we still guess?
Dan gets a shot since you all guessed incorrect.
You.
Serena?
Serena Williams is correct. All right, where are we going next?
Greatest athlete of all time, huh?
He's trolling you.
Well, let's go Who Dad Is.
How's the community handling her engagement to Whitey?
You know, it is what it is.
Okay.
Who Dad Is for a knot, please.
Listen up.
Sorry. Cry. Always hurt. Man,
Tom.
Jake.
Tony Romo.
Correct.
Wow.
So Who That Is done. We still have HBCU and Cool It Now.
Give Always hurt.
Jake.
Nice. HBCU for a grip.
A grip. These two school bands always battle it out.
You.
Grambling. Prairie View.
That's correct, Bob. At the Cotton Bowl every year, and they play football also.
Is that the one we were there?
Yes, that's the one we were there.
Man. It's the week after OU Texas. They put about 400 people in the stands.
And you rush for 100, right?
That's no doubt. Incorrect.
No doubt.
Incorrect, Bob.
There's two white guys, the kickers.
For a knot.
This state has the most HBCUs, which makes sense with all the B's there.
Louisiana.
Incorrect.
Tom.
Good guess, right?
Tom. That's a really good guess. I got you, Jake. Go
Alabama.
Ahead. Alabama is correct. Man.
Cool It Now for a stack.
How did you know that? This network did a surprisingly good job making the movie. Not better than Uncut, though.
F. That's
probably not what we think it is.
BET.
BET is correct.
What?
Seems too obvious.
See?
Too easy.
Hey. You were all thinking, overthinking,
it's
right?
The first clue in the category.
You're right.
Jeez. All right, Dan.
Cool It Now for a grip.
He said Whitney introduced him to the Book of Sugar.
You.
Yeah.
Bobby Brown.
That's correct.
The Whatty? What? Booger.
Booger Sugar. Cocaine.
Booger Sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and the
cool.
last clue in this category, the original members are from Boston, Orchard Park Public Housing to be exact. Are these apartments are commonly known as?
Gribble? The Projects?
That's correct.
Damn!
Or be the Projects.
Like a specific name of the project, like it's Robert Taylor Holmes or something.
I gave you the name.
Or Pork and Beans or something like that.
God, you guys are so rusty.
You think there's a couch out in the middle?
There's
no doubt.
All right, Jake's in the lead with 1,200. Corby has 500. Bob, you have 750. Dan, you have 100. So that means you're picking
first.
Wait,
I got two right.
No, you didn't.
I got a stack and I got a grip.
Where'd you get a grip?
I got a grip, Who Dad Is, and I got a stack on Cool It Now.
Did you get Serena Williams?
Yeah, Mark.
You know what I get at the
denied.
Bob? I get
denied.
At the Bob, so that's you.
All right, you should take points away from Bob for trying to cheat. Actively trying to cheat when he knew he didn't get that.
I don't know.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Those are the ghetto rules.
we're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Even the voice of the NBA, Marv Albert, had seen enough. Here is Marv during the game, during a time when, for sure, you had tuned out.
Mike's on.
What is that?
Is that UTC?
I guess it's been on since the last ticket.
Did you turn on your mic to sneeze?
Bless you.
No.
I lead a very quiet life in here.
Bless you.
It could have been worse.
Is the glass half full or half empty? Or maybe it's broken. Maybe it's not a glass at all.
Rotten Radio.
We are 3 days away from Donald Trump's 100th day as president. So much is made of any president's first 100 days in office. And we are almost there. The 100th day of his presidency will be April 29th, 3 days away. And joining us now on the Ticket Hotline is the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Good morning, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, I've seen your ratings. You guys are a fantastic radio show, okay?
Thank you.
You're number one in everywhere. You have a total class organization, okay?
Well, thank
you. I'm very honored to be on your show.
Oh. Well, that's very nice of you to say, and it's
okay, now, which one is this one?
Well, this is Craig.
Okay, clearly you're struggling.
Well,
I don't think you'll be around for long, quite frankly, but go ahead.
Gosh.
I was going to say, it's an honor to have you on the program and to be able to talk to you about your first 100 days.
You're fantastic. Thank you.
How do you think the first 100 have gone?
There's no doubt that it was the best 100 days that any human being has ever had. Okay? We have done amazing things that are quite frankly fantastic. Okay? They've all been, everyone except for the fake news, okay? The fake news, they lie, okay? They lie and tell you that we have not gotten all the things done that we've gotten done. But the American people know the truth, and that is that my administration is a fantastic administration.
Well, you know, to be honest, people wonder, because you were unable to overturn Obamacare, you've had trouble getting money for the wall. Is it all gone all that well?
Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Yes, look, there is no doubt we are going to have a wall, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a great wall. And I should know a few things about walls, okay? I'm a wall expert. You know that big wall in China?
Mm-hmm. The Great Wall of China?
I named that wall, okay? The Great Wall of China. So, yes, yeah. I'm going to build the wall. I'm going to so build the wall. It's going to be best wall. It's going to be so built. You are not going to even believe how much we build the wall. And guess what? Mexico is going to pay for it.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like those plans are falling apart a little bit from what we understand.
Okay, now which one is this one?
This is George.
Okay, this is the one that Casey Musgraves took out a restraining order against you after you diarrheaed.
No.
Go ahead. What was your question again?
I just said it looks like your plan for the wall may be falling apart just a little bit.
The wall just got 10 feet higher because of what you just said.
That's more expensive. I thought money was a problem.
Look, Mexico needs to quit spending money on sombreros and unemployment and start paying for our walls, okay?
Okay.
Look, the fact is, and you all this talk about will we have a wall or won't we have a wall, all that is just a bunch of fake news to distract the American people from the fact that your show is a total disaster.
But you just told us it was great.
No one listens to you. You guys are losers. I heard the segment. I just heard your failed segment talking about Alexa.
You were listening?
Talking about Alexa. That's what you were doing when we have all these issues facing our country, mm-hmm. and you guys are talking about Alexa.
It was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
Why? Why are you talking about Alexa? Look, the first thing I did when I got Alexa in the White House was grab her by the pee.
Oh.
Teacher who's the boss.
Uh-huh.
Teacher who's the boss. She is unbelievably great to have in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
The White House Alexa is so powerful. Look, watch this. Alexa, put Hillary Clinton in jail. I will put Hillary Rodham Clinton in jail for 20 years. See, she's fantastic.
That's amazing.
Fantastic, Alexa. Beautiful.
Voice sounded a little familiar, but yeah.
Yeah, what? Excuse me?
Nothing.
That was George.
Homo says what? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. You guys will not be on the air within 15 minutes because I've ordered a nuclear strike against the ticket.
That's a bad idea.
Oh, gosh,
that's a bad
idea. The ticket. We're Americans.
Alexa, nuclear strike against the ticket.
Oh, jeez. That's it. All right, there he is. Yes, the president.
The very best of the worst. It's Rotten Radio. On the ticket.
Good.
Yeah, make, get some catfish and go to the lodge. Two birds.
All right. Up next, let's take our stroll down NFL Boulevard and look for something.
It's the ticket's annual.
Gosh.
What were we going to look for?
And then they just go ahead and go to commercial break.
They just...
Yeah, so they didn't even let him correct it. They just went to break.
We're sticking. You're listening to Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
Rotten Radio.
They started a joke.
Hey, Mike. I have a liner here that says you're at tight ends in Plano today.
But I didn't.
Twack that ass.
You feel liner was erroneously put in, or
he's walking briskly?
I think he's like, oh.
It's a finely tuned machine.
So that Monday, huh?
And Tony's out there with the remote set up.
Oh,
already.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike is in Kat's office now.
Corby's bag is here.
Oh, that's great.
No. Please mark the new TC left.
Stuff,
so the Hardline, or at least Tony, will be at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in Plano today at 3. You can watch baseball and basketball national championship, big sports day. And the Hardline, they're going to get there as quick as they can, but there's no way they're there at 3, right? Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in Plano.
Man, neither one of them do.
And that,
that's great. No.
That song makes it extra worse.
I know.
I started a joke.
I always thought that song was so spare.
Gosh.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
Do you have someone you want to buy diamond jewelry for? Now, almost everybody assumes this is, okay, I'm talking to men, for the women in their life. Hey, men like jewelry? Let's say you have a $750 budget. Let's say you have a $500,000 budget. You go to Star Power. At all levels and all levels in between, Star Power can help you, and you will get the best value at Star Power. We've told you for so many years now that the way Star Power does business cuts out the middlemen and gives you a bigger, better diamond for the same money, or you pay less for what you are going to buy. Test them on this. Test them on this. Go there. Let the artisans at Star Power and the experts at Star Power help you design and get for you a piece of jewelry that you want that stays in your budget. Star Power's on Preston Road at Cherry Lane, just south of Northwest Highway. They're on the web at diamonddoctor.com and on the phone at 972-DIAMOND. The very best value in diamond jewelry is at Diamond Doctor.
Classic of Carrollton customers tell them every day.
What a mess.
Yay.
You would almost swear that
was totally edited together.
That
I know.
Incredible.
I have a theory.
Never heard it.
I have a theory.
Wow.
I think Norm got thrown off at the beginning of that about buying diamonds for men. Then did he start thinking about how does that sound that men are going to buy diamonds for other men, and then what is Norm endorsing here? And then
so he threw himself off.
What's incredible is that he said Star Power about 12 times and then gave the Diamond Doctor's web address.
I believe the sentence was Star Power is located at diamonddoctor.com.
Maybe you can get both things there.
Wow, I'd only heard about that. I hadn't heard that yet. That is incredible.
It's something else.
I swear that is not edited at all.
Wow.
Oh.
The very best of the worst. Let's get back to Rotten Radio on the Ticket.
It's the former Cowboys head coach, Wade Phillips. Good morning, Wade.
Morning, guys.
Hey, you're an author now. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, how we doing?
We're doing all right. How are you?
Oh, good. Just sitting here eating Fritos and having a little you here listening to you guys.
Gross breakfast.
Well, tell us a little bit about this book, Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life.
Football and life, that's right. And I got a lot of different things in there I think you'll find interesting. Best places to eat catfish throughout the NFL. one chapter, a chapter on hamburgers.
Mm-hmm. Whole best chapter.
Best baits to use on all Texas lakes.
Is there some football in there somewhere?
There's a chapter on hush puppies. we got plenty of football in there. There's one called Working with the Redheaded Genius.
Oh, still a little bitter, are you?
Yeah. There's another chapter called I Like Turnovers and So Does Tony Romo. And
different kinds of turnovers.
I guess I could read you some of it if y'all.
Oh,
all right.
Well, sure. Mind.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some of your book.
I've been working on my words, so.
Here it goes. What are you? Elementary school? Are you going to do the audio book, by the way?
Yeah, that's available. It just hadn't been completed yet. I'm about halfway through. It takes a while.
Okay.
Takes a while to write a book too. You ever notice that?
Yeah, I bet you it took a long time. Did you write it on a computer?
No. Crayon, typewriter.
Crayon on a typewriter?
Anyway, this is from chapter 6.
Okay.
I had never seen a catfish that big, especially just a few hours before a playoff game.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I was fishing with stink bait and only 10-pound test, and that's about the time he hit. Took that bobber under, and I thought I'd set the hook real good. Yes, I had set the hook real good.
Sounds well written.
That yellow cat went to running. I started yanking on the pole. That cat kept on running.
Okay, all right. That's enough, Wade. That's enough. It's a catfish story. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
I barely landed him. I didn't even get to that part.
And this was right before a playoff game.
You want to hear some football?
Please.
Here we go. This is from chapter 10. Then I learned that I had been named the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I thought to myself, there must be some kind of mistake.
Oh, no.
Me, son of bum, about to become the head coach of America's team. And as Jerry would tell you to this day, it was a big mistake.
Doesn't sound like you have a lot of confidence there, Wade.
And by the way, that was the entire chapter.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's what a short chapter.
Now, you must have written more about the Cowboys and about Jerry, right? You got to have a lot of stories.
Oh, yeah. Jerry. He's so funny. He's such a character. You remember that song I used to sing about Jerry?
It didn't have many words, did it?
Anyway, that's about all the words it had to it.
Yeah, just one.
Yeah. I wrote quite a bit about old Jerry because he's such a character. He's so funny. He cracks me up to this day, you know, still trying to be a football man and all that. And let's see here. Let me thumb through a couple of. Yeah, here we go. And that was the night Jerry said, "Wade, it's about time you learn how to party, Arkansas style." And so we went out, and we went to this bar,
And man, did they have women there. They also had free hot dogs until 7 o'clock. So we started in on the hot dogs and drinking the beer.
Wade. Hello, Wade.
Hello.
Wade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm ordering you to stop right now.
What do you mean?
Wade, this is your former owner, Jerry Jones.
Oh, hey, Jerry.
I'm going to remind you that you signed a non-disclosure when you left here, and that means that you are not allowed to talk about the way I generally managed, the way I cornered women in stalls.
Okay.
I was just about to get to that.
My expensive, ill-fitting hair pieces, and how I really feel about my grandkids.
Oh, man, Jerry.
But Jerry, aren't you now talking about those things?
That is an airtight non-disclosure.
I never heard of a non-disclosure. I never heard of that, Jerry.
It's in your word book.
Well, I don't remember. Besides, you fired me. That contract's null and void, Jerry.
No, when you left, you signed, remember that other piece of paper that you had to sign a whole stack of papers in HR before you left here? Remember, you put your X on every single one of those papers, Wade.
Yeah, and did you really have to have Roosevelt escort me out of the building by gunpoint, Jerry?
Exactly, I had to do that. Roosevelt carries that assault rifle for a reason.
Well, I don't know why you wanted to treat me like that, Jerry. I thought we were friends, and I thought we was good together back in the day.
No, we weren't friends, and one of the happiest days of my life was when I fired you. And I'm telling you right now that I'm going to sue your ass for every cent that you're worth. Everything you got, I'm going to sue you for it.
Everything I got, even my hot dog maker?
Yeah.
I can do it without money, Jared. I can't do it without hot dogs. Or,
all right,
chili
Wade,
dogs are pretty good, too. Throw some chili on there.
Wade, hang up the phone now. Hang it up.
Okay.
All right, then, Jerry. See you in court.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Wade, and thank you, Jerry. Sorry that got a little tense and testy there.
This is crap.
Rotten Radio.
This is how it all took place. And you tell me if this is, like you said, Mike, one of the more underreported, not underreported, but just... something that just happened and went away. And we're going to do it here as we continue to listen to the ticket.
Excuse me. Is this on TV?
And have abort the baby.
I think you're going to want to make sure
he asks how much
he's completely
would that cost?
Healed so that he does not
receive himself.
Hang on, give me a second.
Sam Breckwatkin, a lifelong criminal with a history of violence,
hang on.
Is now serving 40 years for doing group fitting.
On.
Hitting the call for murder when the football player decided a beating wouldn't suffice.
So he called me up.
Why does the wheel of death and the chaos happen only when
he wants to kill?
Let me stop you for a second. He says, I want her killed. Do you kind of go, I need to think about this, or do you kind of go, all right?
Can we just turn it off?
All right.
No problem.
No problem.
Did you have any rules for yourself? Like no kids, no mom, et cetera, et cetera?
That was the mafia. I didn't have that rule.
Let me try this again.
Gang, 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 gang.
If you was going to pay me to kill a woman, then I would kill a woman.
What the hell was that?
The very best of the worst.
Radio.
Traffic is brought to you by Dick's Sporting Goods. Santa's Safe gift card giveaway is coming to your Dick's Sporting Goods. The first 200 adults in line at 6 p.m. Thursday and 5 a.m. Friday get a chance at a $500 Dick's gift card every season.
Having fun.
Starts at Dick's.
Heads up. We're having fun. Why is it so hard for...
$500 Dick's gift card.
For Dick's to come out of your mouth.
Oh, there's so many Dick's in this copy. All right. I'm Becca with the ticket. Stick it up yourself, pipe traffic.
Yeah. I like that conclusion by Becca at the end. There are so many... in this commercial.
What was your observation, Gordo?
What do you mean? I just said, why is it so hard for Dick's to come out of her mouth?
Yeah, just to say that
word. Yeah, it's like it got stuck in her throat or something.
We're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tickets, Rotten Radio, is on the air.
It's good to have you up here, man.
Thank you, Mike.
Looking good.
You know, somebody needs to WD-40 this chair.
Yeah.
Can you hear this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course.
Blame that guy
over
there.
It's not studio quality around here.
Okay.
A Cumulus station.
So there's about a trillion things that that we can get into. So I hope you're fully prepared for all 1 trillion.
A trillion? Yeah, I can do a trillion.
Okay, good.
This is just all in a day's work.
First off, you are playing with one of our good friends in Chris Holt.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I finally decided I need to look around for some local talent, you know, for my band. And there's some real gems around here.
Yeah.
There really are.
Chris is one of them, and Milo Deering is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And
how'd you go through the process of that? And is that a beating trying to find these guys at this point in the career, like finding new guys?
Yeah, it can be difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some really good musicians in my bands. And Chris was just sort of stumbled across my path. He was my son's guitar teacher. And I got to listening to him one day, and I went, damn, this guy's pretty good, you know? I mean, in fact, he's real good. And I was recording my last album at the time, and I asked him to come over and play a solo on a song. And he just killed it. And I thought, well, shoot, you know, lives right here in town. It's gonna save me some money on airfares.
Yeah,
and
it's nice.
Yeah.
Now, did you have confidence in him at that time that he would kill it for you that way, or were you just wanting to give him a shot just to see what would happen?
I thought he could probably handle it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a veteran, you know, he's been around the block and he's made a couple of records on his own and he's played in a lot of bands. So he, you know,
oh, yeah.
His adjustment period was pretty brief.
He is very, very skilled. Very good. Yeah. I mean, when you talk about the top guitar players around here.
Yeah.
He's one of the first ones you mentioned.
Yeah, no, he's great. And he, you know, I think it was a little hard for him at first because we do a couple of a cappella numbers where we just stand at the microphones and nobody has a guitar. And he doesn't know what to do with his hands. But he's just kind of shuffling around a little bit, but he's getting used to it.
So who's, was this all your idea, the big birthday bash?
Yeah, it was.
It was.
I have to take credit for this, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of sitting home being depressed, you know, and stuff, I thought, well, I'll just go out and work.
Yeah.
Know? And invite some of my friends to come along and just have a little party.
Can you tell us all who's going to be there? There have been a couple of names announced.
I can tell you most of them, yeah. There's a couple that I still don't know whether they're coming or not, and they won't tell me
whether
they're coming. But Stevie Nicks is coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And Mr. Walsh and Mr. Schmidt are going to show up.
Nice.
And my good friend from New York, Patti Smyth.
Not Scandal?
Not to be confused with Patti Smith yet. Very
right.
Good. Yeah, Scandal. You know, we did a duet back sometime in the 90s called Sometimes Love Just Ain't Enough, and we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
She's married to John McEnroe.
Right. Yep.
Speaking of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And
will John come down?
John is going to come.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. He's going to hang.
Wow, tennis, Corby.
I know. Yeah. I love tennis, Don.
Yeah, he'll beat your ass.
I don't want to play him.
No, he'll just, never mind tennis, he'll just beat your ass.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's awesome. That'll be sweet. So, for you, when you put together one of these things and you start going through the mental Rolodex of who to invite and who not to invite, I have to imagine with all the contacts that you have that that's not the easiest thing to do. Or is it? Or is it just like, I'm calling these guys and they're all going to show up?
No, it's not easy. You know, it's because there's always payback. You know, I'm going to be doing their stuff now, which is fine. We all have a long history of reciprocity,
mm-hmm.
Of doing things for one another.
Is it a pretty standard crew that you have that you take out on the road with you and stuff?
My band?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have the best band I've ever had. I've had a lot of good bands, but this is the best one I've ever had. There's 15 of them. A 5-piece section. Three killer background singers,
mm-hmm.
Two of whom have vocal degrees from University of Southern California, and they're not just giving those away, mm-hmm. you know. And the other background singer also plays violin. She's from Amarillo, Texas.
Nice.
I have Milo Deering, who plays pedal steel guitar. He also plays violin and mm-hmm. viola and acoustic guitar and electric guitar and pretty much anything you put in front of him, he can play. So it's a really good band. And as I say on stage every night, it's not very profitable, but it sure is fun. So they're all going to be there. And there are a couple of other big names that might show up. But again, they're not telling me because they don't want to be announced.
They're not even telling you?
No, they're not even telling me.
Oh, wow.
No, they're not even committing to me.
Jeez.
So we'll see.
So this will just be like side of the stage and...
I'll know the day before.
Okay.
Because we have to have rehearsal.
Okay.
So, but it's going to be fun. You know, we've almost... I think there are a few tickets left, but we've almost sold the whole place out. We just keep moving the stage back further, you know?
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Still fun for you to do this?
Yeah.
To write,
most
record,
most times.
Play,
yeah.
Gig and stuff?
Yeah. It's fun for about 2 weeks. And then it becomes work, you know. It all depends on how my voice is doing, and it's fun. I enjoy it, you know, and I work at it. I try to keep in shape, you know, so I can do my best every night.
Mm-hmm.
I want the people to get their money's worth. And we do a 2-hour and 20-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably go a little longer this time at the American Airlines Center with all these guest stars and stuff.
Right.
And there'll be some surprises.
How do you keep your voice together?
Sleep is the main thing. I don't sleep. I don't sing very well. And I can't have any alcohol on the road.
Has it always been that way? Or is this
no,
new?
You know, we used to get away with murder. You know, we could do anything. You know, stay up for 2 or 3 days. And
nothing wrecked,
you know,
your voice?
Like The Compound, you know. We could do that. We could, and nothing wrecked our voice. But these days, I really have to, you know... Alcohol does something to my vocal cords. I mean, I like red wine. I collect it. But mm-hmm. If I drink one sip, I'm screwed for like a month.
One sip?
One sip.
So are you teetotaling as the tour goes along?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. You know, I was just thinking about this today, that if I may bring up the Eagles here.
Yes, you may.
You have emerged as the... sole remaining voice of the Eagles. Now that Glenn's gone, Randy's not doing it anymore, and that's no knock on, you know, Tim or Joe or any of the rest of them that do sing, but your voice is the one that, you know, when people think of the Eagles, it's the one that's left and probably the one that they think of anyway.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but Joe and Tim are still on the road. They're still touring. Timothy has a new album out, and mm-hmm. Joe's doing a lot of gigs. He was out with Bad Company. What do they call themselves now? Paul Rogers and those guys. He's been touring right along. But, I never thought it would work, you know, never planned on this coming out this way. But I think it's my responsibility now to carry on this legacy and to keep these songs alive, because apparently people still want to hear them. You know, I thought we were done pretty much when Glenn passed away, and I said as much, but, you know, I was in a state of shock at the time. But we have gotten a lot of messages from people all over the world who would like to see things continue. So besides my birthday show, we have these two shows coming up in New York and L.A., which are
that East Coast, West Coast festival thing.
Basically an experiment for us.
And Glenn's son is playing in the band now?
I'm supposed to say that. You just did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he is. And he's very, well, there's going to be an official announcement in a few days, but let's just do it here. Glenn's...
Nobody listens to us anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah, Glenn's son, Deacon, who is a very talented young man,
mm-hmm.
and he seems to be up for the task. He's enthusiastic about it, and he's been working real hard on it, and he's going to do it with us. And I think that's appropriate. You know, there's an old system, both in Western and Eastern culture, called the guild system, where the father is the master and the son is the apprentice, and the trade, the craft, the business is handed down
mm-hmm.
from father to son. So I think it's really the only appropriate way to carry on. I don't think I'd do it otherwise.
Really?
Since it's Glenn's blood, it's his son,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I think that's appropriate. And there'll be one more musician along for the ride, too, but I'm not going to say that is, but that will be. that'll be in the announcement that's coming up soon.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, 96.7 FM, The Tickets, Rotten Radio.
Rotten Radio.
Jer for a 21, par 5, fifth hole here at Prairie Lakes. On the way, it's short. It's short.
Hey, breaking news on 5. Mike Reiner teeing off on the difficult par 5. The same hole that I believe Jimmy just made a 22 on. Sounds like a 23.
What happened? Jeremy just left the chart for 30 inches away. I've never seen that in my life.
Oh my God!
Is that a 23, Jer? He left it short from 3 inches away.
I don't think he's doing well.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jer.
I'm gonna have a heart attack.
I'm laughing at Jer Smith, but that is the funniest thing I think I've ever witnessed.
Man, it's just a week later, I still can't believe what I saw. And then you guys have seen the video since.
Yes, it's so funny.
And you saw what I saw and how I could laugh like that because Jer was such a cartoon character the way he did a foot stomp. He did this real exaggerated foot stomp after he missed it. I was trying to knock it in. I know, but it was such a cartoon.
And he had a funny putting stance, and he was wearing a purple T-shirt, and just
the whole thing.
It was the perfect storm.
Yes, it was the perfect storm, and we already had the giggles anyway. We'd already laughed about 50 times before that.
You mentioned it was like a Laurel and Hardy foot stomp because you know how the film back then was sped up a little bit?
The stroke was so fast and then the foot stomp it almost interrupted his putting stroke. It was so soon after.
It all sucks.
It was so quick.
Oh, man. I still can't take it. All right. So there's Jer up for an e-break with that missed 3-inch putt.
The other thing that's funny about that is Corby, when he asks you what happened, he says it in such a high pitch.
What happened? They're like two guys on laughing gas trying to explain something.
You're over there rolling around on the grass.
And I did. I fell off of my chair. I was laughing so hard. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything but laugh.
You're listening to Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
Let's get back to Rotten Radio on The Ticket.
Today is June 12th. Do you know what that is?
I do.
And then Jake passed us on a tweet that said, somebody put out there that the Mavs partying in Miami, it was June 12th, 2011, when you guys won the championship.
The party was more of the 13th, probably.
Both.
The Mavs party in Miami in 2011 is the most epic championship celebration ever documented on social media.
Really?
Just take us back to, we've talked about many aspects of the championship. How about that night, though?
Oh, that night was special.
Like, when did you go to bed?
I don't think I slept much.
And then detail everything that happened before that.
So,
that you can
what
remember.
Happened was literally, I mean, you're in the gym forever, press conferences, then you get to shoot a photo shoot with the trophy and with everybody. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah, with Bill Russell. And so you're literally in the arena for a couple hours. We have not eaten anything, and basically one bus went right to the club who wanted to go, and one bus with all the family or whoever went back to the hotel, and they had a meal room there, but we obviously had to go to the club, and it's our championship, and I wasn't going to go home and eat, so we went right to the club, no food, started boozing, and it was a good time. Lil Wayne was next to us, and I think Trey Songz was in there, and oh man, Cuban got in and bought the biggest bottle of champagne I've ever seen. I think it was $100,000,
and we started, for one bottle.
Yeah, I think so. And we started to drink it like this. I mean, it was we had a good old time. And
rumor had it that he spent $1 million above that night. Can you buy that?
I think that's a little steep.
A little steep. Okay.
Yeah, I only saw that one huge champagne. That's really all I saw, but. No, we had a blast, and then I think we must have stayed there 4 or 5 or something and went home. Then I finally ordered a burger from room service real quick and maybe passed out for an hour or two, and then we already flew back home. So I actually felt miserable when we landed, and then you see all these people there, which is awesome, but my head was pounding. Good times, though. Good times.
Good times. And did you have another a day before the parade? A day to
It was a couple days. It was a couple days.
Yeah.
We did a few things, but I was just saying we partied a little harder in 06 when we lost just to get over that frustration than we did in 11 than when we won. I think we're an older team. I think everybody was completely exhausted with Jake Kidd being obviously almost 40 and Jet and Tyson. And I think till the parade we had one or two more good nights, but it wasn't like we went really, really all out. We were ousted from the run and in 06 to get over that frustration. We did like 2 or 3 weeks straight. I remember every day Jed used to show up at the house, what we do in the day, and just to get over it. And
damn,
so that was the younger days.
Yeah, I've never heard about that really.
Yeah.
I thought there was always wasn't there a party that was kind of partly thrown to blame for the 06 fall, that there was some kind of a party thrown during the series?
No, I think somebody said that, you know, we had like a week, I think, before the final started. That we did something there, but that was not right.
That was
anybody
BS.
Who knows me knows I wouldn't party before the deal's done. So
did you move hotels though? Avery didn't even.
That was in the middle of the finals.
Yeah,
but he was saying there was just too many family members, too many distractions going on. So when we lost game three in a heartbreaker, which was that's the big free throw I missed to tie at the end. Game four we got blown out, and then Avery was just on it. I mean, so on the bus, I think we had 2 days in between game four and game five, and the bus pulled in the hotel. He gets up. He's like, "Everybody, listen, pack your stuff. We're leaving tomorrow after practice. We're not coming back here." So we moved hotels out to Fort Lauderdale. It's actually a funny story. I don't think I've told you guys. So I guess they only had a certain amount of rooms left at that Marriott we moved to.
Yeah, I mean, how are you supposed to just...
So, because we needed like 20, 25, 30 rooms or whatever who went. I can't remember who all went. Obviously, some of the staff didn't have to. So I'm checking my room. Click, click, I go in. I was like, oh, sweet, there's two beds. So I'm throwing my backpack and my bag on one bed. I lay down on the other bed. 2 minutes later, I hear the door click, and I was like, "Who's this? The maid?" I look up; it's Daryl Armstrong. So
we had
roommates in the finals before Game Five, and it was a cluster. I mean, DA of all people, he is absolutely nuts, as you guys know him. He's an animal. So, oh man, we had a good old time.
So for the first time in years, you have a roommate.
In the first time, not in summer league back in the days, did I have a roommate. Now, in Germany in the summer, when we travel, we do roommates with the national team because they obviously don't have the funding the NBA does. So in the summer, I used to have some roommates. But I was in shock. Everybody like was, so for two nights, one night and then we practiced the next day, and then the game was the following night. So we stayed two nights with roommates, the DA in a room. It was a blast.
So there was nothing about like a... See, my memory is not very good, Dirk. A Josh Howard birthday party flyer or...
That was what I'm talking about? Yeah, that was a couple
years.
Another year.
That was New Orleans series.
Yes, that was good. Good memory. That was a couple years later. That was in 08. I think that was...
Okay.
That was actually Avery's last year. That was... Jake Kidd's first year, we traded for him at the All-Star game, all around the All-Star. And so we lost to New Orleans, I think in five, pretty quick. And there were some birthday flyers passed out before one of the games.
And he was none too happy about that.
And Avery saw the flyer, and so...
Do you have an Avery imitation? Can you imitate
I can't. No, I'm not that good. But Avery was actually a good coach. He was just so intense. I mean, some of the film sessions, I wish we would have filmed because, I mean, there was some stuff said and done. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, he would come in and we'd won a game, whatever. The next day he comes in and say, Welcome to the Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki Horror Show, because our defense was, again, horrible that night. So he literally would have like 5 or 6 minutes of clips with just me and Jet on and just kill us. I mean, it was, we had some good times with Avery.
Wow, and that's following the stylings of Don Nelson, which are way different.
With Nelly, we'd watch film maybe when we lost 2 or 3 in a row. Before that, it was all just quick clips before the game to get ready for the next opponent. Rick actually loves his film. I mean, literally, we'd watch for an opponent just in a regular season. We watch probably 3 or 4 times. We watch the opponent. So, which is just, that's his way of preparing us to play. Nelly was a lot different back in the days. Nelly was not a fan of film. He didn't really like it himself.
So
Nelly would mess up every name. It was the Nelly film sessions were classic too.
I've always thought it's nature versus nurture. Would you have become the player you are anyway, no matter who your coach was? I don't know, but I feel like Nelson was great for you. He, you know, first of all, you were his guy, so he was going to give you a little more slack.
Yeah.
But I also feel like he envisioned what's going on in the NBA now.
Yeah.
Like, he envisioned 7-footers at the 3-point line. This hybrid player, or what Golden State is now, I feel like he saw that and never just had the right pieces to.
I totally agree. I always said it my entire career that he was great for my start. I think you can set anybody up to fail, no matter how skilled he is, if you're in the wrong position or wear somebody down or drain him mentally and get on him every day. And I think you can pretty much make everybody look normal. So, but he was big for me my first year, and always gave me confidence and let me play my game and let me spread the floor and didn't try to bulk me up and make me a center. You know, he saw that a lot of the game was going away from all the 1-on-1. It was more in the movement, spreading the floor, pick and roll type game instead of, you know, the 5-10 second back downs we had back in the day. So I think he saw that coming, and I'll fit in perfect into his system for sure.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
But this is the attempt to get Kip back on.
Okay, Mike, let's try to reach Kip Keno.
Dead serious.
Eldoret Kenya. Please answer. Hello. Oh, please answer.
He'll answer. He's got a wheels off voicemail.
Oh, I hope we don't go to voicemail.
Eh.
Oh, this sounds like voicemail. Oh, no.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to try it again.
This has got to work.
All right,
hold on. Okay, we're going to try it.
0-1-1.
Try this again. Honestly, this is not. We are not doing a ticket bit. I want to assure you of this. We made contact through his brothers with Kip, who's now in Kenya, and I've wanted to get this interview.
All right. Padding. Oh,
okay. Let's hope. This is a new connection. Oh, please answer the phone.
Come on, dude.
He's
God.
Oh, what's that? Oh, no. Oh, tell me this isn't going to not work.
It will
again.
Work. It will work. It will work.
Okay, Mike's going to dial
the country
again.
Code is... All right, there
he is. That's screwing you up.
Don't worry.
It's just a really difficult number to dial.
Okay, you're going to try it again, Mike?
Yep, here it comes. This one's going to be good.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, my God.
This can't be happening.
Don't worry. Watch this. I'm telling you, this is what I was doing when I called him a little bit ago. I was like, dude, this is fail. And then he just answered.
Okay.
This is it. Money shot.
All right. Stop. Money shot.
Gosh. Okay. Don't make Norm say that.
Busy anyway.
All right. We're back on track.
Cross your fingers.
He's going to say hello.
Oh, please answer the phone. What happened?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Kip?
Yeah, that's Skip.
Good morning. My name is Norm. I'm in the United States, and this is the radio sports talk show you're going to be on.
God. He finally made contact.
Like he was Kip, explaining to either a third grader or an alien.
Yeah, an alien.
Like, hi, this is Norm.
Mr. Hitchkiss, Mr. Kino's just come out of his coma. Would you like to speak with him?
This is the American radio sports talk show that you're going to talk on.
Yeah, I know, dude. Just go ahead. What do you want?
Okay, since we have his producer with us this morning, Mike, I have to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you just treat that like any other guest where you get him off the air, you get him on the line, and then you tell Norm, okay, we've got Kip Keno, and then he goes to him.
But it makes no sense why you would go through all this again. You get him on the line, and then he's there.
How boring is that? It's Kip.
Yeah, this was much more exciting.
This is the we had a chance to write an e-break, to right or wrong.
Dear God, please answer the phone.
And you got on the e-break.
Damn right we did it.
Jesus, answer the phone. Please, God, Jesus, Mary, Mother, let him answer the phone.
The very best of the worst. It's Rotten Radio on the Ticket. 1310 and 96.7 FM, the Tickets, Rotten Radio is on the air.
I've never, it's not, there's nothing more disconcerting because you're right. It's like you've lost your magic powers.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're flopping around, flandering around, just thinking, what the hell do I do?
It's horrible. I wasn't philandering. I wasn't playing around with my wife.
What, you did it
again, didn't you?
What was I looking for? What was...
I wasn't philandering. I guarantee you that. You are back.
What did I say?
Philandering.
You said you're philandering.
You're philandering. I can only guess. Dave?
I'm going to make a commitment right now that I'm going to go March and April break free.
Not.
He did say philandering, didn't he?
And I think there's some debate on that one.
Well, there was some debate, but we isolated it. I think he did say philandering.
Is that a radio show or a podcast?
And just as a special little Johnny E-break double for you, when we had him on yesterday... There was a word of controversy when he was trying to say, no, I can't say it, entrepreneur. Okay, the word entrepreneur. Did he say that?
And I feel like in the last 15 years, I've built a pretty darn good business. Well, you guys don't think of me as an entrepreneur. You think of me as a joke.
Entrepreneur. See, he started to say intra.
Intra, then entrepreneur.
What's really bad is not too long before that, he'd said it right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, the Tickets. Rotten Radio.
I've said bitch more than madam.
So I was really leery of madam. Niyasol, Aslo. Did I just say that instead of also?
Do we need to dump that?
Aslo. You have to remember that my wife is on guard, too.
It was weirder than Yaslo.
I thought it was Niyasol.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Niyasol, you have to...
Oh, I don't know. No, that sounded...
Niyasol, you have
to... Niyasol, Yahyaft?
Niyasol, you have
to... And Niyasol,
he's a Middle Eastern leader, wasn't
he,
in the
70s? I think he's trying to spit out... And Yaslo, Yahaman.
Niyasol, you have to...
Oh, man, let's do the full-length thing of that again.
I've said bitch more than madam.
So I was really leery of madam. Niyasol, you have to... Aslo. Did I just say that instead of also?
Do we need to dump that?
Aslo. You have to remember that my wife is on guard, too.
That was a really funny segment when they were trying to drop in the drop of madam, sweetheart, sugar...
Wait, what's the gag? They had to say all those things to their
significant other. Yeah. Significant other? Okay. And they're all just like, why are you calling me that? And one of them, just call me.
They had P1s do it too. It was really funny.
Now I'm changing my vote.
I mean, does it matter? This is going to be awesome. That's what matters.
Did you just swear?
Did he just swear?
No.
Okay.
I thought he said this S is going to be awesome.
I think that is what he said.
Sounded really close to that.
You didn't just dump yourself, did you?
If you guys think I said something.
Well, don't just dump it based on that.
Well, you know if
that.
You said something.
I didn't. I don't think I said anything, but all four of you looked at me like I did.
Oh, man.
What do you think, Mino?
God, he's been totally neutered by the man.
So that's pretty good. A dump and chase and a pile on.
Wait a minute. You heard it without the beep.
Yes.
Did he say it?
Yes, he did.
It sounds like you said it even with the beep.
Yeah.
I mean, we beeped it adequately, but...
The only thing I thought he could have said was, the show's going to be awesome, but...
It came out something else.
I can't believe he so casually dropped an S-bomb.
It comes from the world of podcasting.
You know, I know. I think that does cross him up a little bit. Let's hear that just for humor one more time.
4,000th show quiz spectacular of extravagance would be my suggestion.
That's a little wordier.
Laser unicorn,
I like that one.
Awesome sauce, cannonball.
I'm changing my vote.
I mean, does it matter? This is going to be awesome. That's what matters.
Did you just swear?
Did he just swear?
No.
Okay.
No, I thought he said this S is going to be awesome.
I think that is what he said.
Sounded really close to that.
You didn't just dump yourself, did you?
If you guys think I said something.
Well, don't just dump it based on that.
Well, you know if you said something.
I didn't. I don't think I said anything, but all four of you looked at me like I did.
Oh, man.
The very best of the worst. It's Rotten Radio on the Ticket.
That's the way I do it, yeah.
That's the way you like to do it, just go out for a little while each time?
Yeah.
None of these big, long, three-month things or anything like that?
No, I can't do that anymore. two, three weeks is plenty.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think of the Billy Joel philosophy of playing Madison Square Garden once a month, and then every now and then he'll go out to a stadium and play?
That's great work if you can get it. You know.
You want to sign up for that?
You bet you. I'll sign up for that anytime.
What was the longest tour you guys had? In the 70s. Did you guys go, like, over a year?
Well, I think the longest... I don't think we ever went out more than... We'd do, like, 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and we'd go for a year that way.
Yeah.
You know, but...
That's not horrible.
No, it's not horrible, you know, because... I do it this way because I have... To, my voice needs a rest, and I'd like to... For my kids to remember who their father is, and so I have to go home once
in
a while
nice.
And identify myself.
That's relatively important.
Yeah, it is. And so I don't like to stay gone for too long because they're going through a very important period in their lives right now. And so I've tried to be at home more these past 15, 20 years. I get tired, plain and simple. You know, after 8 or 9 gigs, that's about it for my voice. You know, and then it needs some time off, and I go rest and go back out after and do some more.
Are you amazed? You know, when you look back at what you guys built over the span of time, and everybody else from that era, and everybody really, you can go back to the Stones for that matter, and you go back to McCartney as well, at the success that's still available to you guys. Did you ever envision that it could be this much for this long?
No. No, of course not. We thought it was... Every morning that I woke up in the 70s, I thought, well, this will be it this week. It's all over after this week. But, you know, I was talking about that earlier today, and timing has a lot to do with it, I think. We were just born at the right time in the post-war baby boom generation, which was a big generation. And the coming of age of that generation and all the social change and things that accompanied that. And it was also the golden age of the music business. You know, we made records at a time when people were still willing to pay for music. and before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And before...
You love the internet and music, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could just talk about that for a couple of hours here. But
we weren't going to tell you that we were one of the original investors in Napster. So
okay, well that's good. you see where that got you,
right?
It was just the right time at the right place, you know. And we also had a work ethic. You know, Glenn and I were both the sons of blue collar working people, And we grew up with a work ethic, and we put a lot of time and effort into it. And we partied a lot, you know, but we worked just as hard as we played, and or harder. And we built something, as you said, and we kept writing songs. We didn't stop, you know. We said, okay, that was good. Now let's do some more, and we just kept doing it.
That's amazing. The continuous songwriting that came from that era, not just from you guys, mm-hmm. but from every, it was like, that's what you did,
yeah.
and you just kept doing it. And nowadays, you know, you'll go 7 years, people in the rock business will go 5, 6, 7 years between writing songs. You can get away with that now, I guess, but yeah. back then you guys always wrote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Beatles set the standard for that. They put out an album. Sometimes they'd put out 2 or 3 albums in a year, you know. It was incredible the output that they did, and that sort of set the bar for everybody. How many songs the Beatles were writing, and how many albums they were putting out. I look at the situation today, and I wonder what's going to be around. I wonder if any careers are. Everything is disposable today. You know, everything mm-hmm. is brief, and I wonder what's going to be around 30, 40 years from now out of what we have today. And I frankly don't see it. It's hard. I mean, I hope that some of these kids go on to have long careers and that they grow as artists and stuff like that. But everything now seems to be pretty short-lived and pretty fluffy.
You recall the first time you met Glenn? The very first time?
Well,
had you heard about him before you met him or heard of him or anything?
He and J.D. Souther... our fellow Texan J.D. Souther were in a duo called Long Branch Penny Whistle,
mm-hmm.
and they were on the same label that Kenny Rogers had signed my band to, which is called Amos Records. And so my memory is a little vague on that. I don't know if I first met Glenn in the offices of Amos Records or if I first met him in the Troubadour Bar, but it was one or the other. You know, that was in 1971, I think. But even if I did meet him first at the Amos Records offices, we became friends in the Troubadour Bar one night when he walked up to me and handed me a beer and said, he said, well, first of all, I'm trying to put a group together. Me and JD broke up our group, so I don't have a group anymore. We weren't getting anywhere on Amos Records. I said, well, my group's not getting anywhere on Amos Records either. And he said, well, I'm going on tour with Linda Ronstadt and we need a drummer. You want to think about it? And I went, yeah, I just thought about it.
I accept.
Well, I had to do an audition up in a little house in Laurel Canyon, and I passed the audition because I knew her records backwards and forwards. And so we went on the road with her, and that was the beginning of that. We actually started plotting the Eagles in a hotel in Washington, D.C., in a place in the Georgetown Inn in Georgetown. And that's when he laid out his plan to me, this group he wanted to form.
Glenn did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you don't hear of circumstances that often where you're part of a really successful outfit with Linda Ronstadt. And then you decide that, I mean, it's risky, right? Yeah. I mean, there had to be some risk involved. You weren't sure that all these things were going to work out. Was there any trepidation whatsoever? Or were you at that point where you're like, let's do it. We got to do
it. Yeah, no, we were just backup guys for her. We weren't a band, you know.
Right.
She was the name, and we were just hired help. But Glenn wanted his own band, and he had a very definite plan about who he wanted in that band. And so we just went with it. He had been connected to David Geffen by Jackson Browne, and Jackson played a big role in getting us in the door, so to speak.
Were y'all writing songs at the time you were with Linda, your own stuff, or did that start with that meeting that you had?
No, Glenn was writing. I wasn't writing much. He and I didn't really start writing until 73. Desperado was the first song we wrote together.
Wow. That's
a pretty big plunge.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, good job.
Thanks. Thanks. You know, and that song didn't really get much love or attention until Linda Ronstadt recorded it. You know, even after our album came, Desperado album came out in 73. It was our second album. That song really didn't get much attention. And then she recorded it. And then, you know, everything took off from there.
Yeah, first time I heard it was by her.
Yeah. and she did a great job.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
And so they just had to go to interlude music?
Yeah, listen how long this goes on.
Such wild-ass music.
It is.
Pop on, Kevin. What's up? We've got nice technical chaos breaking out.
What kind of technical chaos is this?
Well, we've lost the connection with...
But they really had that.
With Bob and Dan out at the IMAX Mark 17.
Funny, Tom, because I just heard Dan ask something about a black man.
I know. It was an interesting conversation he and Bob were having.
He started laughing immediately after that, so I was... I didn't know what was going on there.
Hello?
So are we on the air or are we not?
Hello?
We are on the air.
So you guys are... Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Bob, are you here?
I'm here.
All right, we're back at the Cinemark IMAX. So you were listening to our off-air conversation?
It's interesting. I didn't know. Why would you ask Bob if he'd be willing to date a black man?
We're asking
and
someone else.
If you laugh about it.
Really?
Interesting.
Hey, if you're here in person, you're enjoying two shows at once.
Wow.
My goodness.
That was a minute and a half worth of just nonsense.
You know, that doesn't... I often tell P1s what we do during break because we do a lot of work during break to prepare for the segments coming up. That doesn't, that's not a good exhibit for me to use in support of that.
I've heard worse things said during commercial breaks than that.
The very best of the worst. It's Rotten Radio on The Ticket. Is the glass half full or half empty? Or maybe it's broken.
Maybe it's not a glass at all.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio is in the air.
Do we really want to spend $1 million in base salary on a fullback?
Who is used maybe one out of every three plays?
Feel it's not a bonfire. Unless they can see it from space. You know how to treat a lady and her cousin.
Excuse me?
What is this? What's happening here? Heath, put on your headset here and tell me what's happening. I have no idea what that is. What is that? That was Mickey? Mickey made all that noise?
Yes, Mickey's making all that noise. Tell him to stop, Norm.
Mickey, have you got a rock group in the booth with you?
No, I thought it was a drop, and then I realized it went on a little too long for a drop for the ticket.
What is that, somebody auditioning at camp?
No, it was on your line.
No, we're blaming it on you, Mick. You're alone. I've got engineers. I've got family in the booth. I got people backing me up at the studio. This is you, baby.
Hey, it was just me in the hotspot, and we can vouch that we didn't touch anything.
Wait a minute. It was you, Edgar? It was Edgar.
See
it
there?
Was Edgar Lopez in the next booth who did that.
Golly, I was
He'll
ready to
be
quit.
Severely what? Beaten about the head and ears right after the show.
So what was I saying? Does he not like
me? I don't know.
All right, what confusion that caused? I don't think it...
Radio.
Good morning, Big Jim.
Good morning, Newsles. How are you?
Good. How are you? I know you're a big football fan and a big Republican.
Of course. I'm a big booster of the SEC and, of course, a big booster of the grand old party.
You're out there in St. Paul, huh?
I'm up here in Minnesota covering the convention for the ticket, of course, and what a glorious convention it is. I love being surrounded by white people. I mean, right people. People who believe the right things.
Right. Yeah, okay.
And I've long time been involved in politics. The first president I ever voted for was Jefferson Davis. I was a Dixiecrat for a long time, and now I'm a Republican because they respect my values.
You go way back.
Unlike the Democrats who are trotting out that Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Now, I halfway like Barack Hussein Obama, but the half of him I don't like died in Kenya a few decades ago.
Now, Big Jim Jack.
Now, you have to listen to me. This is the way I boost. You have to understand. The problem I have with Barack is that I don't think that this country is ready to elect, and I don't mean any offense by this, but I just don't think this country is ready to elect a radical Muslim.
All right. He's not a radical Muslim. That's just...
Why doesn't he wear the flag pin, George?
Well, I, yeah, I George.
I think I'll prove my point.
Not really. It doesn't make
well, I know
radical.
Before our SEC games, all of my friends stand for the national anthem and put our hands over our hearts.
Yeah.
And we wear our flag pins and our stars and bars. And we respect this country, and I don't think Barack Hussein Obama does that when the national anthem is played.
Well, I think he does.
I guess he doesn't do wearing the flag pin and putting a hand over the heart when he goes to those Globetrotter games or whatever those mixed-up breed Kenyans do.
Oh, my gosh.
Big Jim Jack, you are full of stereotypes.
Well, Barack ought to be running for president of Iraq, and I think we all know that.
Why is that?
Then again, they hung the last Hussein they had as president.
Oh, my gosh.
I just think that we can't, in good conscience, see President Obama. That just doesn't sound right to me.
Why not?
Because a president should be named Reagan or Wilson or Jefferson. Actually, I take back the Jefferson now, but back in the day it was okay. Way back when.
Well, you need to loosen up a little bit.
Well, I'm excited now that we have this beautiful Sarah Palin on the Republican ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's kind of controversial, though.
Yeah, she's a V-pill for sure.
A V-pilf? What does that mean?
Yeah, what is that?
I have to get going now, okay. I'm Big Jim Jack, GOP booster.
All right, we'll see you.
We're sticking the place up with Rotten Radio. This is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership, KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus station.